Now, last week we talked about rejoicing always, and so this week we're talking about giving thanks in everything, or giving thanks. I mean, not giving thanks, praying consistently. Giving thanks next week. So praying consistently. Now, some of your Bibles may say, pray without ceasing. And it's the same word, same thing. And so the word there is constantly or unceasingly or without ceasing. So let's look at this together. Pray constantly. Here's the thing. Paul, when he writes towards you and me, towards Christians, he wrote to you and me as well. And here's what he says. He expects prayer to be the standard act within a Christian's life. Now, if I look at my own life and I assess, how is my prayer life going? I can't answer that saying, that's the standard mode of my life. That's the standard act of my life. If I'm just being honest, like prayer is something that's very difficult for me. And so, like, not difficult in the sense of, like, I can't do it, but in difficult in the sense of making time for it, of really believing and acting and living as though this is a deeply important thing in my life. And it's one area that I just don't devote a ton of time to. But when we come to the text here, what Paul says is pray constantly. So Paul expects then prayer is the standard act within a Christian's life. So therefore, as disciples of Jesus who are saved by the gospel, we are forgiven forgiveness for our sins, and we have new freedom to be able to live our lives then as God-focused people with God-focused hearts. And so what prayer is then is, since you cannot find salvation inside of yourself, but you must go outside of yourself to Christ to be able to find salvation, to find a new relationship with God, then if you want to grow with Christ to become more like him, then you must go outside of yourself as well to be able to find the mode or the method to be able to grow in Christ, to grow in your salvation, to be a God-focused person with a God-focused heart. And what's the mode? How do you do it? What Paul tells us then, the method of growing in Christ, of going outside of yourself to attain sanctification, is prayer. It's prayer. So John Calvin says this: prayer is not for God as much as it is for you. He wills justly that due honor be paid to him by acknowledging that all that men desire, to be feel to be useful, is derived in him. Everything that you desire and everything you desire to feel to be useful is derived in God. That's what John Calvin says. And so prayer is a constant reminder that God is the source of all good things. That's what prayer is. Now, Jesus told us a parable about this. A parable that God is the hero of all things, and if you desire to grow in him, then you need to turn to him through prayer. And so in Luke chapter 18, Jesus told this parable, and I think it's really cool. And we're gonna be short in it because I want to get to our prayer meeting. But in Luke chapter 18, here's what Jesus says. Luke chapter 18, verse 1-8. He says, "Now he told them a parable on the need for them to pray always and not give up. There was a judge in a certain town who didn't fear God or respect people. And a widow in that town kept coming to him saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.' For a while he was unwilling, but later he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or respect people, yet because this widow keeps pestering me, I will give her justice so that she doesn't wear me out by her persistent coming.' Then the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. Will not God grant justice to his elect who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay in helping them? I tell you that he will swiftly grant them justice. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?'" And so Jesus is talking about this great need for you and me to reach out to God in prayer. And so many of us, when we come, we think, like, is prayer work? Should I do this? Should I devote time to this? Is it worth devoting time to? I don't know. And so when Jesus is talking about this, he says, here is this parable. There's this woman, a widow, who can't care for herself. Like, women were different back then, not the person, but the way the society viewed them was different. And so if you were a woman, you couldn't go get a job. If your husband died, you were reliant on the people around you to supply for your needs. He said, this woman was in a position of great need. And so she went to this judge, but he wouldn't listen to her at all. Day after day, she kept going back because she needed justice in her life. She kept returning. And finally, after a long time of this woman returning to this judge over and over and over again, the judge finally relented and said, if this woman will leave me alone, I'll give her what she wants. And Jesus says, pay attention. Because look what he says in verse 1. I'm telling this to you so that you will pray always and never give up. Now, when we read this, we think, okay, well, what this is telling me is I need to go to God a lot to get him to hear me. But the problem is, that's the exact opposite of what Jesus is teaching here. You see, what Jesus is teaching in this text, which he tells us in verses 6 through 8, he says, listen to what the judge says. He'll finally grant justice to this woman who's bothering, but listen, how much more will your heavenly Father grant justice to those who turn to him? The point is that your Father in heaven is not like this judge. He doesn't need you to come and pester him for him to hear you. What Jesus is saying is that your Father in heaven cares so deeply about you and what's happening in your life that you don't need to pester him for him to give you an ear. That's what he's saying. And so it's not a call to action to pester God. It's a call to encouragement to turn to your Father who loves you. Because he does hear you and does respond to things in your life. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, so when Paul tells us to pray consistently, he's teaching us along the lines of what Jesus is saying. He's like, your Father in heaven hears you, and he cares deeply about you and cares what's happening in your life, and you don't have to annoy him to get him to care about you. He already does it. He's waiting on you to turn to him in prayer. And so the standard mode, what he desires from you in your life, is for you to turn to him consistently, constantly by prayer, because your Father in heaven is waiting to hear from you, and he wants to grant you justice swiftly. That's what the text is saying. So this morning, what I want to do then is I want to put this into practice together. And so like I said at the beginning, we are going to go into a prayer service this morning. Now, if you were not in here at the beginning, don't feel nervous about this. I'm not going to ask you to pray out loud to anyone next to you. I'm not going to ask you to get in groups and pray. How it's going to work is I'm going to lead you in prompts. And so as you pray, as we bow our heads, we humble ourselves before the Lord, and we want to pray to our Father in heaven who cares deeply about us, I'm going to give you a prompt, a thing to pray for. And you pray for that. And if you want to pray with someone next to you, you are more than welcome to do it. And if you, at any point you feel like you want to get up and go pray with someone across the room, do it. Get up and go pray with them across the room, but you are not required to do that. You can stay in your seat and be quiet the entire time. Now, here's what we're going to do. So let's go ahead and get started. Here's what I want you to do. Go ahead and bow your head with me. And I want you to take a breath. And I want you to turn to the Lord in your heart. And I want you to acknowledge his goodness. I want you to acknowledge by faith that he cares for you. And I want you to ask the Spirit to be present and to speak to your heart. And now up on the screen, Dane is going to put a prayer that I want us to recite together as we begin this prayer meeting, because I think it's really helpful. This is a prayer written by a Puritan named Robert Parker. So everyone, if you're able, go ahead and stand up with me, because there's something about changing your posture that changes your heart. If you're able to stand, you don't have to. Let's recite this prayer together with a prayerful heart as we begin our prayer service this morning. O Lord, teach me to pray that I may call upon your name. Prepare my heart to seek and open your ears mercifully to hear me. So you can go and have a seat. And so now with your head bowed, what I want you to do at the very beginning here is I want you to pray for the thing that's on your heart this morning as you walked in. Get the thing that's on your heart off of your heart so that way you are freed up to pray for other things. Now back in 1 Thessalonians, as we read last week, the call, one thing that God desires in your life is for you to rejoice always. And so the theme of joy in your life is going to govern a lot of this prayer meeting. Because in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, here's Paul's command, rejoice always. So take a moment and pray for joy in your life. We know that knowing Jesus and walking with him is the antecedent, the beginning point to fullness of joy. And we experience that beginning with our response to the gospel. And so take a moment and humble yourself before our Father in heaven. Acknowledge his authority over the world and over your life. One way to do this is to picture yourself bowing before him in your heart. And now rejecting Christ or pursuing sin is the thief of joy, because it's forsaking your design. You are designed to follow God along according to his design, according to what he desires for you. And so now take a moment to submit to him as the Lord over your life, as the boss over your life. And then take a moment to confess your sins to him. Be specific. Acknowledge the ways that you have strayed or run from him. And now repent from your sins. It means to turn away from them. And seek in your heart to pursue righteousness, to seek obedience. And in light of your repentance and your faith in Christ, the cross of Christ grants you a full pardon. Listen to Romans 8, verses 1 through 4. It says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, since it was weakened by the flesh, God did. He condemns sin in the flesh by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh as a sin offering, in order that the law's requirement would be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. By the work of Christ, you are granted a pardon for your sins, and you will receive full forgiveness. And so ask God for forgiveness. And ask him to help you to walk in gospel freedom in your life, free from guilt, free from shame, and free from sin. And claim that freedom that you have through the victory of Christ. And then lastly, praise God for the gospel, for the death and resurrection of Christ and how it applies to you in your life. And today, if you've never humbled yourself before him and accepted this gift from the cross as payment for your sins, if you've never repented of your sins, if you've never submitted your life to follow Jesus as the Lord over your life, the master over your life, then today's the day to do it. I encourage you to pray to him and claim the forgiveness that you can have through Christ. And so you'll have a moment later to come up and pray with a pastor if you desire that. But if the Spirit's speaking to your heart in this moment, let him in. And it's in this new relationship with Jesus Christ that we may live in fullness of joy according to his ways. Listen to Romans 8, verses 5 and 6. For those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on the things of the Spirit. Now the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. So pray for joy and for passion for living according to Scripture. So next, we're going to switch gears, and we're going to pray for joy for others. And so first thing I want you to pray for other people, is for your one. And what I mean by that is a one person in your life that you know of who does not know Christ, does not have a relationship with Christ. It could be a family member. It can be a friend. It can be a child. It can be a coworker. It could be anyone that you are aware of in your life that you have a personal relationship with that you know does not know Jesus. That's your one. And so we don't want you to come up with a list of 10. You can if you want, but I want you to focus on one person. And I want you to pray for that one person, that God would save them, that they'd have the openness to hear and to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if they live around here, pray that you would have boldness to invite them to come to church with you as we're heading into the holiday season, where people may be more receptive to spiritual things. And then pray that you personally would be knowledgeable, ready, and willing to share the gospel. Next, we have a couple church plant partnerships in Matamoros, and we received a text, or Brent did, from Pastor Abraham there, and he said a member of their church named Francisco, it's a church plant of about 30 regular attenders, and Francisco, a church member there, passed away from a stroke just yesterday, the day before, and what he said is we're really shocked and we're really sad. And so would you lift up Francisco's family and their church? Next, we have some really exciting news, joy for others that we want to pray for. So if you know, the Haneys have been moving towards adoption, and that is official. And so all of four kids, we've got Luke, Jax, Aubrey, and Macy, have all been officially adopted into the Haney family. Yeah. And so, many families in this church have adopted and fostered. And so many of you know what corresponds with that, both the great joys and the great struggles. So if you would lift up the Haney family, one, praise God that the adoption is finalized. And so just pray for them, praise God for that, and then pray for them as they embark on this new journey together as a brand new family. Next, in terms of joy for others, we want to consider an unreached people group. So this past week, apparently the world surpassed 8 billion people in population. And about 3 billion have little to no access to the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And so before we get to our people group that we want us to pray for, I want you to pray specifically that God would raise up more people from our church locally to be sent out through the IMB. And if you were part of our prayer meetings that we were doing over this past year, this is a similar thing of what we've been doing. We've gotten an unreached people group through the International Mission Board to pray for each time. And so we're going to do that again this morning. And so, Dan, if you'll put up the first one we got up here. This is called the Salam Pasu of the Democratic Republic of the Congo. And so here's a picture of one of the Salam Pasu warriors. And so the Salam Pasu, they live in rural villages on the frontier between the Congo and Angola. Their name means hunter of locusts, and they are regarded by their neighbors as fierce warriors. And while they're involved in hunting and farming, they're best known for their elaborate masks, which hold great significance in their sacred rituals as warriors. These masks are used to initiate boys into the society of warriors and are earned through performing specific deeds. The masks also act as guardians for the children and are believed to have spirits dwelling within them. Now, currently, there are no known believers or churches among the Salam Pasu people. And so there are three prayer starters up there on the screen. If you want to pray for the Salam Pasu people, read through those and pray for them at this time. Next, the second thing we would pray for at our prayer meetings, the first one was an unreached people group. The second thing was a persecuted church, our brothers and sisters in Christ across the globe who face difficult times in terms of following Christ. So, Danny, if you'll go to the next one. This is Pastor, I don't know exactly how to say that, Natia, I'm not sure, his son and a church member. And so he, the pastor, his son, and another church member, they'd worshiped together, and they were walking home through the jungle. They're from India. And while they were going, they were ambushed by Hindu radicals throwing stones at them. Some were able to break away, only to be attacked again by villagers wielding axes, sticks, and other tools. Pastor Natia's 16-year-old son and another believer were struck repeatedly. Police arrived and helped take the severely injured men to the hospital. When questioned, the attackers falsely claimed that Pastor Natia had come to their village and threatened to attack them. The case against them is ongoing, but the attackers are already free, and the medical and legal costs from the attack continue to mount. And so there are two prayer requests right there. If you'll pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ from India. Next, this is not going to be on the screen, but there are a number of churches around us, but three that I want to point out that are really close to us in proximity. So we've got First Baptist White Settlement, we have Solid Rock, and then we have Grace Baptist Church. And so those are three churches that we have a pretty close relationship with. I have lunch with those pastors every month. And so if you would pick one of those three churches, and I want you to pray that God would bless their church as we're heading into the holidays. That he would make his name great among those believers. And that he would come in power among them. So again, Solid Rock, Grace Baptist, and First Baptist White Settlement. So next, at this time, we're going to turn. I want to pray for what's on your heart. And so the question is, what do you desire Christ to do? What is the thing that you want him to do in your life, in your world? And so we're going to have a couple pastors, elders, and their wives available if you want to get up and receive prayer from one of our pastors or his wife. And so elders, if you guys go ahead, if y'all would, and if your wife's here, go find a spot just like along the back wall, I suppose. And if you would like to receive prayer from one of our pastors, just get up at any point and walk back there to them. And they would love to pray with you. The question for you is, what do you desire Christ to do? And so go before him and lay your burdens at his feet and ask him to work. When Jesus was heading to the cross in Matthew 26:39, he wasn't really wanting to go, but he said, "Nevertheless, Father, not my will, but yours be done." So in this situation, ask God to shape your heart on this matter according to his will. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, "Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." And so after praying for the thing that you want to pray for, let's give thanks in and in spite of this situation. And next, the elders are still available, elders and their wives. If you want prayer as we continue on, please get up and go receive prayer from them. The next thing I want you to do is I want you to pray for someone else, another brother or sister in Christ. Ask the Spirit who you should pray for and what you should pray about them. And now I want to switch gears one more time. I'm going to lead you to pray for two more things. As we're heading into holiday time, I want you to pray for your family. So, Danny, if you'll put the family one up. Proverbs 17:1 says, "Better a dry crust with peace than a house full of feasting with strife." And that is a perfect verse as we're heading into Thanksgiving time. And so I want you to pick one of these. You don't have to pray for all of them, but I want you to pick one of these things to pray for your family this morning. And if you want, you can pray with your family. But just pick one of them and pray. And then lastly, Danny, if you'll go to the parents and kids. Lastly, I want to lead you to pray for your kids. And if you're a kid here and you're not, if you don't have a kid, or if you don't have a kid, you can pray this for someone else or for yourself. So you decide how the Spirit's leading you to pray in this moment. But if you're a parent here and you want to pray for your child and your child is with you, I encourage you to reach out your hand toward them. Lay on your hands as you pray for your kids. And so just pick one of them and pray that over them. And so, Father, we come before you and we thank you for this time that we have to come before you to let our prayers come up to your throne. We thank you that you hear us and that you're not like the unjust judge, but you're a Father who's ready and willing and waiting to hear from us. And you will respond swiftly as Christ tells us. And so we ask all of these things and more in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we're going to sing another song or so. And after that, you will be dismissed this morning. And so remember, we want to see you tonight at 5 at the Thanksgiving dinner. We'd love to see you here. And so now listen to this. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may overflow with hope. Amen.